Yeah. Rob is here.
What's going on, Dr. Dre?
You all right, man?
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful day. Beautiful day. All right, let's get this party started. You ready?
Oh, yeah. Let's make it happen.
Welcome once again, folks, to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. I'm your boy, Andre, joining with Robert Ford. Robert Ford, how's it going this evening? You all right?
Doing great. Football is back, baby.
Football is back, and it is Wednesday, the 27th, obviously, of July. We are so happy.
It's been a frenzy.
It has been a frenzy. We're so happy to finally talk football. I mean, you don't know how excited I was to literally, you know, figure out we're going to talk about football this show. Got a lot of fun things to talk about, obviously. We're going to jump right into it. We're going to go talk about some QBs on the move, talk about some free agent signings, rookie linebackers that are going to make an impact, and we're going to predict some division winners. So with that, let's go ahead and jump on the target with some quarterbacks on the move. And, Rob, it's been a crazy day. Thanks for still coming in. But any quarterback you want to talk about first before I jump into it, or where do you want to go with that?
Well, I guess we can start off with Donovan McNabb. I mean, he's one of the bigger names with quarterbacks being moved. I know he's maybe on the downside of his career, but, you know, just would like to see what you maybe think, what kind of impact he may have on a Vikings team. I know it looks like at the most, all Minnesota had to give up for him was a six-rounder in next year's draft and maybe a six-rounder in the following draft based on his performance this year. Do you think he'd go to Minnesota and get the starting job, or do you think Ponder is going to be the guy?
I got to tell you, I really think that he should get the starting job, definitely. You know, I think they've brought him in to kind of be a stopgap. And if everything doesn't go well, I think that Ponder will definitely be the guy later on at the end, you know, kind of similar to, well, not Joe Flacco, but I think he's going to definitely start, and then eventually he's going to usher the way in for Christian Ponder to either take over at the end of the year or definitely for next year.
Yes, I kind of see it the same way. With the lockout, one thing that's going to affect is these rookies' quarterbacks. They didn't get the time to work with the coaches in the classroom as well as on the field. And so I think a lot of these teams will be going right in with probably a veteran quarterback and, you know, eventually maybe mid to late season transition to these guys. Or in some cases, these guys may wait a full season before they get the starting job. So, yeah, I would definitely say at the earliest you can possibly see a guy like Ponder starting mid-season. And you know, another guy we're going to talk about here is Matt Hasselbeck. Another older guy on the move and making a move to Tennessee. And I think it's almost the same situation. He's going there with a rookie quarterback. Hasselbeck, I think at this stage of his career, is probably a little bit better than McNabb. And, you know, could be a kind of guy that could possibly still hang on and be a starter for a full season. But definitely we all know that Jake Locker is the guy that is their long-term answer.
Yeah, definitely agree with you on that point, too, because when I heard the news that Matt Hasselbeck was leaving to go to Tennessee, it just, you know, I was kind of shocked because I didn't really see that one coming. You thought that Jake was kind of going to be the guy and they were going to go into him with the, you know, kind of giving him the nod to be the starter, but same thing may happen with Donovan McNabb. He's kind of ushering the way in for Jake Lockhart. If not for him starting, you know, obviously, you know, first part of the season, but maybe towards the end of the season and definitely getting some meaningful time. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting, and I think we'll talk about other quarterbacks too, but I definitely think that this may have something to do with how late the lockout, you know, happened, that a lot of guys are getting veteran guys they kind of usher the way in for younger guys because they kind of know they're kind of used to playing. So that's kind of what I kind of see going into the first couple of weeks, if you will.
Yeah. And another guy that's not official yet, but looks like it's more than likely going to happen with this trade, is the trade that we have been discussing all throughout the lockout, is Kevin Cobb to Philly. Now, Kevin Cobb to Arizona from Philly.
Arizona, uh-huh.
And this is a little bit different than McNabb and Hasselbeck, to whereas he's still a young guy that's going to be the quarterback of the now and the future for Arizona. And which I think this is kind of where I thought he would wind up all throughout the offseason, and looks like it's coming into fruition. And I think it's a very good move for Arizona. What do you think? Hello, did we lose Andre here? Well, I'll go ahead and continue the conversation in regards to Kevin Cobb here. I think Kevin Cobb is a guy that's, you know, is going to come in and bring some life back to that Arizona offense. Arizona really struggled offensively last season. And I think they have weapons on that team already with Larry Fitzgerald, Beanie Wells, and I think you're looking at a situation here where Kevin Cobb is, like I said, is going to be the quarterback of the now and the future.
Sorry about that, Rob. I kind of jumped off by accident. That was on me. I apologize. Can you hear me?
I kind of had to go on a little bit.
That's okay.
I was just ad-libbing here in regards to Kevin Cobb. You know, I don't know where I lost you at here, but, you know, I was saying it's a little bit of a different situation where with Hasselbeck and McNabb are veterans that are changing teams. Kevin Cobb is actually a guy that's being traded to be the quarterback of now and the future, meaning he's a little bit younger. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on the impact that he will have on the Arizona Cardinals.
You know, I'm not sure what to think because I don't know. Do you think that Kevin Cobb is a system quarterback? And what I mean by that is, do you think that he's a quarterback that's only excelling because maybe he's got, like, you know, a Andy Reid as his coach or something like that? That's kind of how I think about him. I think that he does have a lot of potential, but I just don't know if he is the actual answer. I mean, having somebody like Andy Reid under him and having all those weapons around him, you know, I'm not really sold just yet. So that's just kind of me. So I don't know what we'll see. They're not giving up a lot for him, obviously, giving up a cornerback. You're going to end up like, that happened with who gave up a quarterback to get I think Denver. Well, somebody gave it somebody to get somebody. It was weird, but anyway, we'll have to stay and see because he's a young guy, so he definitely has time to get better, if you will. Mm-hmm. But he really hasn't played a lot, so we'll have to see how that plays out in the end. So
yeah,
I don't know. I think
well,
he may be more consistent.
I think the one thing we've got to look at is. I think he's definitely an upgrade over what they currently have at the position.
Arizona,
they struggled big time at the quarterback position last year after retiring of Kurt Warner. And, you have Max Hall as your quarterback. I mean, who is he?
Yeah, exactly.
No offense to Max Hall, but, yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying. I mean, he hasn't played a lot. But I think he started to show some signs that there is a – he started to show some signs that he could be a very capable NFL quarterback, Kevin Cobb. And he's got a strong arm, too. I was, he played at the University of Houston. You know, you don't get to see a lot of their games. And
oh, wow.
But based on based on what I saw last season, he looks like he can be a very capable NFL quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. If you're Arizona,
not sure if he's a Pro Bowler. But,
yeah.
Yeah, but I definitely think it's an upgrade, and I think if we have time to get into division winners, I think he can put them up as being the favorite to win the West.
Gotcha. And I think too that's interesting too because, you know, he does have a strong arm coming from Houston, like you mentioned. I just forget that's where he came from, but you know, he's definitely an upgrade from anything that they have there. I'm kind of cautiously optimistic to see how everything plays out because if you're Arizona, you got to make sure you got to say this is our guy. You know, no more messing around because if you said this is one or two pieces away, you know, he's got to be the guy to take you to the next level, if you will.
Exactly. And I don't know if you're up to speed on the latest trade rumor, but Kyle Orton from Denver to Miami is picking up some steam in the trade talk. And looks like Denver wants to hand over the reins to Tim Tebow, and Miami is looking for an upgrade at the quarterback position. How do you feel
about
Orton?
Are they doing draft picks, or what are they actually giving up for Kyle Orton?
I'm not sure what Miami will give to Denver. I'm assuming it will be maybe draft picks and a player. But it looks like that is really picking up a lot of steam. Where Orton could be the starting quarterback in Miami, which would be his third team as a starter.
Wow. I guess if you're Miami, you know, you kind of feel like Arizona maybe in the state where you're more or less like you're kind of like, is this the guy that we're looking for? You know, they keep getting these little stop gaps, you know, like from the Chad Penningtons and, you know, like, I don't know. I mean, I guess Kyler is young enough. I mean, he's a winner. I mean, I don't think they can go anywhere else at this juncture, but, you know, I don't know. On the Denver side, I guess you're, like you say, if you're hitching your wagon to Tim Tebow, that's a big risk too because, you know, I don't think Denver really has a strong defense. They're building the pieces there. You know, the running game, you know, no Sean Marino. You're still kind of figuring out what type of back he is. And then weapon-wise, I don't really know if they have too many weapons. I mean, obviously they still have your guy from Virginia Tech. I'm losing the name here. But, you know, other than that, it's kind of they're kind of rebuilding at this juncture too. So, you know, I don't know. I guess you're getting draft picks for Orton, if you will.
Yeah, I heard Mark Schlereth, you know, he follows, obviously, he played for the Denver Broncos, and he lives in the Denver area. And I heard him make an interesting comment just this morning in regards to the Broncos, whether or not to keep Orton or turn the reins over to Tim Tebow. And he feels like the Broncos are a 4 or 5 win team, whether it was Orton at QB or whether it's Tim Tebow at QB.
Okay.
And so he kind of felt like they were a 4 or 5 win team, regardless of who was at quarterback. So, and in his regard, if that's the case, and if the organization feels that way as well, he said, then it's time to turn it over to the younger guy, and let him, you know, since he is your quarterback of the future, you know, give him an opportunity to learn on the job. You know, if you don't think you're better with Orton, then it's time to turn it over to Tim Tebow. So I thought that was an interesting point that he made. You know, of course, he probably follows the Broncos a little bit closer than you and I do. And, I thought that was a very interesting point he made, that he felt like that regardless of who's at QB, they're practically the same kind of team at this point. And,
wow.
And I guess if the organization feels that way, then yes, I think I would have to agree with that philosophy, that it may be time to turn over the reins to Tim Tebow.
Yeah. How do you feel if you're a fan of the Broncos and you hear somebody say that you're a 4 to 5 win team? I mean, do you put all your money on to support the team, or are you kind of like, oh, well, this is rebuilding? I mean, how does that really make you feel as a fan if you know that, you know?
Well, you know, in the NFL, I always say, too, I don't know if you can really put a lot of stock in predictions. And you know, UC teams jump from 3 wins to 10 wins, 3 wins to 12 wins, and so you know, I think you know at this point, I think everybody should be excited about their teams. I'm sure there's been some years where you maybe thought the Falcons were going to be down and they wound up having a good season. And I've even experienced that with the Saints. I mean, there's some years where I didn't expect us to be that good, and we wound up being better than we expected. So I think as a fan, you still have to have that form of excitement. And there's parity in the NFL. So, I mean, even saying that, I think you still should be excited. I remember Sean Payton's first year with the Saints in 06, and a lot of people were picking the Saints to go 2-14. I remember Archie Manning saying these exact words. He was a color analyst for the Saints at the time. He said, Saints have a horrible offensive line. There's no way they're going to be able to protect Drew Brees in his first season. And the Saints went to the NFC Championship game that year, and wow. they gave up some of the fewest sacks in the league that year.
And
Archie Manning made those comments in the preseason. So you know,
wow,
I mean,
wow, yeah.
And Manning, of course, followed the Saints, and it's the same situation where Mark Schlereth knows the Broncos. So you just never can tell. You just never can tell. I mean, you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year. I don't think anybody predicted they would win 10 games. And they did. Mm-hmm. So I think you still should have some form of excitement. And the only other quarterbacks that I think we can discuss real quick is kind of interesting a little bit what Seattle did by bringing in Tavares Jackson. And it looks like there's going to be an open competition between he and Charlie Whitehurst. And I've been hearing mixed people saying the job looked like it was going to be Whitehurst. Then I've heard other people say the job looked like maybe for Tavares Jackson. And the offensive coordinator there was the offensive coordinator in Minnesota. So he knows Tavares Jackson. What's your take on that?
Now, I don't know if you read the news about this. This is going to really trip you out. But did you hear that Matt Leiner is also going to Seattle?
Well, that was reported initially yesterday, but then Matt Leiner decided to re-sign with Houston.
Really? Okay. Well, never mind then. Okay, well, you're on next. I thought I heard a little rumor that he was actually going there too. Okay. Well, interesting. And I guess that's the last thing that I heard whenever I was listening to. Well, if that's the case, then you know, it's weird because if I thought that Pete Carroll was a big fan of Charlie Whitehurst. I'm not sure why he would bring in somebody else unless he's under, like, I don't know if the coordinator for, like you said, the Minnesota, ex-Minnesota Viking coordinator was really a fan of Tavares Jackson. But, you know, I don't know. I'm thinking that that's Whitehurst's job personally. But like you said, I think it should be interesting to see how that one plays out too. You know, Whitehurst may have a little upper hand because he's been, he knows the team a little bit, but you know, if they're changing the offense, then who knows, it could end up being, like you said, Tavares, but I see, like, kind of both ways, but you know, I'm not really sure to think about this one, actually, but you would think that it'd be Charlie Whitehurst's instructor. Yeah.
That's
real quick, I know. Go ahead. I'll let you finish that point.
Oh, that should be an interesting quarterback competition. And Seattle just agreed to terms with Sidney Rice today, too. So they're going to have two big wide receivers, Sidney Rice and Mike Williams. I don't know if you think this is the perfect opportunity for us to transfer into other free agency news. But that was a pretty big signing.
I was going to tell you, too, that's interesting because, you know, and I have, a, I'm going to, like, throw a curveball to you, too, but it's interesting because, you know, obviously Seattle's becoming USC of the pros, if you will, but we'll see how that plays out because it's interesting to be getting all his ex-players. And this is just totally curveball. Do you think that Vince Young is going to get signed? And you know, where do you think he's going? I don't know if we heard any news about him, but anything you think about Vince Young?
Yeah, he is another big name. That's what's going to happen is, I think tomorrow is the first day that with these new post-lockout rules that you can actually cut veterans.
Okay.
So what's going to happen is Tennessee is going to officially waive him. I mean, he's not going to get traded. Nobody's going to take over the contract. And so he's going to get cut. And I think a team to watch here is the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think there's some talk about bringing him in as a backup to Michael Vick. And so that's the that's one of the teams you may want to watch. And watch the Kyle Orton situation. If Miami does acquire Kyle Orton, they will not go the direction of Vince Young. But that was another rumor that that Miami may have some interest in Vince Young as well. But, of course, like I said, if they acquire Kyle Orton, you know, I think then you'll see Vince Young probably go with the Eagles. At that point, there probably won't be any more starting jobs available. So look like Young will wind up in Philadelphia as a backup, which is slightly disappointing because I think he still can be a starter. And I kind of would have liked to have seen a team like the 49ers give him a shot because I still just don't think Alex Smith is a starting NFL quarterback. But that's just my personal opinion. But it looked like it'll be an interesting 1-2 quarterback in Philly with Mike Vick and Vince Young. That could be very interesting.
And one more question. Then what happened? And who did now that the Redskins have traded Donovan McNabb? Who's the quarterback? I mean, that's is it going to be Rex Grossman or you know whatever? Who's
looks like John Beck is going to be the guy that looks like Shanahan has fallen in love with, and it looked like that's who he's going to take his chances with. Is John Beck is. And look like they're going to keep Grossman on board as a backup. But John Beck, as of right now, looks like he is the guy that Shanahan is rolling the dice with. Could be somewhat of a gamble, but obviously the McNabb situation didn't work out as expected. And he's taking his chances with John Beck as the quarterback.
Good deal. All right. Well, some other creative maybe as you're ready. Yep. Yeah. Very, very unproven. You said.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Very unproven.
Yeah. A lot more unproven, of course, than Kevin Cobb is.
Wow. All right. Well, let's talk. Well, I guess now that I've totally given you all these different questions, let's go ahead and talk about some other free agent moves here. Anything that kind of sticks out in your mind as far as some pretty big news, if you will.
Yeah, it was interesting. I know we just briefly touched on the Sidney Rice. I know he came down. Minnesota and Seattle kind of got into a bidding war over his services. And then in the end, he decided to go to Seattle over Minnesota and change teams. Plaxico Burress, still very interesting. Looks like he is either going to wind up going to the Giants or the Steelers. He's played for both of those teams. And I personally think it's probably going to be the Giants. It looks like he's going to wind up going back to. Another big move is Santonio Holmes getting a big contract, 5 years, about $50 million to stay with the Jets. And now the Jets are talking to Nnamdi Asamoah. What's your take on that? I think a lot of people thought Santonio Holmes and Nnamdi Asamoah were the top two free agents on the market. Of course, Holmes, he re-signs with the Jets, but what would you think about that defense if they're able to get Asamoah to pair it up with Darrell Revis?
As much as I'd hate saying this, you might as well, like, that may lock them up for a Super Bowl. I mean, they can't, you know, there's no way folks are going to be able to throw the ball on them. You know, that's almost like the rich getting richer if that happens. But, you know, obviously, want to make sure that that it's a good fit, which I obviously think it is because they're both kind of man quarters. But you know, if you figure out a way to keep running the ball against them, I mean, that's just sickness, you know. But you know, wow,
yeah,
they're up there with
the
Ravens, you know, great defense.
And from my understanding, he's actually possibly willing to take a slight pay cut just to sign with the Jets, which is quite amazing. I don't know how familiar you are with Awesome Wild, but, you know, he's very articulate. He speaks very well. And he wants to be an actor. And so he's made it openly known that he wants to go to a team where he can enhance his acting skills or be in a city where he can, you know, obviously there's no team in Los Angeles, and the next best city would be New York. And could be very interesting if he winds up with the Jets. You know, there was a lot of talk about the Texans and the Buccaneers being interested in him prior to the lockout being over. But it don't look like either one of those teams have made a move on him. But I keep hearing that it looks like the Texans will try to jump in there and try to make a move for his services. But there's a lot of talk about him going to the Jets, and that could be very interesting. So we have to monitor that situation here in the coming days. And
you also heard that there was some interest with him in the 49ers. Who did you see a little clip about that too? I thought I heard that 49ers were sort of interested as well. I don't know if that was something that popped up.
Yeah, I haven't heard about the 49ers, but I know prior to the lockout being over, you know, the two big names for his services were the Texans and the Buccaneers. It doesn't look like the Buccaneers have jumped in on it, but, you know, I am reading here where it says the 49ers definitely are interested as well, so you're definitely right.
Mm-hmm.
That would be interesting as well.
If that happens,
I would rather him.
You'd rather him go there?
I'd rather him go to an AFC team.
Wow, I got you.
But
I mean, if you put him, he's California, like you said, that's close enough to California, but continue on. I was pretty sure thought.
Yeah. But I know we got some other big free agent moves. Look like Carolina has really stepped it up as being big spenders. Kept two of their own, Charles Johnson, D'Angelo Williams, both getting big contracts. And I think they even went outside and signed a defensive tackle. And Ron Edwards from Kansas City.
Oh, wow.
So they're trying to build up that defensive line a little bit. And they took care of some of their own guys. They gave extensions to James Anderson and Thomas Davis. Carolina has really been some big spenders so far, and obviously they're trying to build a team for the future here with a young quarterback in Cam Newton. And so they have a little bit of excitement going there in Carolina right now. Like I said, they've been one of the biggest spenders so far in free agency. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, impressive. I'm a little hurt that they re-signed Charles Johnson. There's rumors that he wanted to go with play with the Falcons, but they were like, Carolina obviously opened up their wallet, and he was like, I'm taking care of my family now. So that's a good move for him.
Yeah.
I did also hear that
Atlanta and Denver was involved in a bidding war for his services. John Fox was trying to bring him to Denver as well. You know, John Fox coached him the last few years in Carolina. But I did hear where Atlanta, as well as Denver, was involved in trying to sign Charles Johnson. But in the end, it looked like Carolina came away with being able to keep him. And it's really interesting because so far, a lot of the big names have just re-signed with their own teams. There's been a few moves, like the Sidney Rice move. But you're seeing that a lot of these big name guys, their own teams want to bring them back. And so even with D'Angelo Williams, one of the probably the best running back on the market as far as free agency is concerned, he winds up re-signing as well. So, I mean, so far you got to give Carolina a little kudos. NFC South is going to be a real interesting division. And it could have a possibility of having four good teams in that division for a long time. And so it's going to be very competitive.
Wow, like I said, you know, go ahead. It's in my ear, Robin. I know we're wrapping up here as far as time to end the show here. But, you know, we're so excited. We didn't get a chance to get everything in, but we definitely want to talk about the rookie linebackers next week and the division winners, too, because Ed Sander, there's like 30 seconds in my ear. So, anyway, any last thing that you want to say? 10 seconds now, but we'll wrap it up real quick.
Oh, no, I mean, not a real quick surprise. I know we're wrapping up here, but Steve Breeston going to Kansas City. So could be a nice wide receiver pair there with Dwayne Bowe. We'll monitor these other free agency moves here in the next week, and hopefully we'll have some other big news for you guys on next Wednesday.
Most definitely. Well, like I said, everyone, I want to thank you guys for listening to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. You know, obviously, it's our pleasure to put the show together. And like I said, I'm sure as we get our legs under us, we'll get some more call-ins and all that jazz, and we'll get some more traction and whatnot. But it's a very exciting time. And like I said, tune in next week whenever we talk about those topics, like we talk about rookie linebackers and some more stuff, any free agency news, and we knew it was going to be exciting. So, you know, bear with us if we talk all football, because that's something we definitely love.
We'll have to monitor the Frank Gore situation in San Fran. I know he's barking about holding out, so hopefully we'll have some news on that come next Wednesday as well.
Wow, I didn't even see that coming. Good job. Good job. Thanks, everyone.
Good night, people.
Good night. Rob, that was good, sir.
Man, we have too much to talk about, man.
I know.
I see why everybody else's radio shows is like 2, 3, 4 hours.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's like you barely have enough time to fit everything in there, you know, because it's just so much going on. But, you know, it's we got a chance to get all of our stuff in and talk about the main stuff, which is going on for agents too. And like I said, I always throw some curveballs in there, but you know, at the end of the day, it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks for how long did you have to ad lib for a quick while? What were you talking about?
For a couple of minutes, yeah. I went on and on a little bit about Kevin Kyle.
I was like, oh crap. Freaking, I got these new little headphones. And I was
you must use your cell phone.
Yeah, I had my cell phone on, but I was trying to use this control dock, and I just got these new headphones, and so I was clicking on the button, and it cut me off. I'm like, oh! So I'll find my other ones. Those are a little bit more easier to listen to and stuff like that. But
you have your iPhone through like Verizon, huh?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
Is that who you have, or you still have AT&T?
I'm still AT&T.
Okay. Yeah,
that's
not bad.
Yeah. Yeah, how's the Verizon service?
I like Verizon. I don't get any drop calls or anything like that. So I have noticed that. A lot of people have said that they don't get any drop calls with them. So, yeah.
With Verizon?
Yeah, with Verizon.
Yeah, you know, Wayne works in the telecommunication industry. He says that they have the best network.
To Verizon?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. What
do you think about the Falcons against Noel Devine?
You know that actually that didn't happen. That you know that he didn't re-sign. He signed with Philadelphia.
Oh, did he change his mind?
Yep. Mhm. That's what it
wow.
said.
Wow.
Yep. That's what we were all like. He's going to sign with us at 10 a.m. and then it didn't even happen.
Wow.
Yeah. Same thing we were talking about. That I thought that they were talking about Leinart signed with Seattle, and then it didn't even go through.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. That goes to show you that things change over a matter of, I mean, I guess hours, if you will. But, yeah, I mean, I'm reading it. They're like, they got three quarterbacks. How are they going to work with all three of those guys? And then, like you told me tonight, that apparently it didn't actually go down. So, there you go.
Yeah. I think it came down to money, too. I think Houston was still just able to offer him a little bit more money than Seattle was.
Wow.
Mhm. Yep, and so is any rookie free agents you're excited about for the Falcons?
Let's see here. I'll tell you exactly what's going down with the Falcons here. It's not like any like big names I've heard of that I've been looking at this.
Yeah, but normally they're not, but you still normally get a surprise or two out of this group.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing that, you know, we signed the guy from, if you really, you know, as a Georgia Tech fan, we signed the guy from Georgia Tech. We signed this Lucas Cox.
Mm-hmm.
We signed defensive tackle Conte Tripp from Georgia. You know, I don't think anything that really stood out at this time. looks like we got like a lot of. We signed a quarterback, Adam Frohman from Louisville, which I think is kind of could be a sleeper guy. Yeah, nothing that really looks like. These almost seem like camp bodies, you know. And I'm not. I don't know. I mean, I really can't.
Well, I mean, most. You know, I mean, you hate to use that term, but rookie free agents, for the most part, that's what they are: camp bodies. But
yeah,
you normally get a couple every year. Each team finds a couple of diamond in the rough side of that group, and they wind up making your team. And so, I mean, there'll probably be one or two guys out of these groups that you know you just, you know, guys you just never heard of. I mean, going back to even the Saints last year, if you find a guy like Chris Ivory. You know, I never heard of the guy prior to that.
Wow.
And so, you know, you're always going to find, and I'm sure, you know, even from your Falcons standpoint, I'm sure there was at least one or two undrafted free agents that probably made the Falcons team last year over the last few years, too. And you always find that you seem to always find a guy out of this, out of these groups. To make your team. Mm-hmm. So, but a lot of times you just don't know which one of those guys that's going to be it. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, like I know said, from the, I'm sorry.
I was going to say from the Saints standpoint, it seemed like the guy they're excited about the most is DeAndre McDaniel, the safety from Clemson.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if you know a lot about him from watching the ACC games.
I mean, I know he was a very physical player last time watching him. I mean, that's what I kept getting gathered.
Yeah,
but,
they said he had some off-the-field trouble, and it's the reason why he didn't get drafted. But they said a lot of people had a third or fourth round grade on him.
Mm-hmm. What were they saying about him? Were they saying anything else about him?
Well, they were saying he's got a, you know, if he's got his act together, he might be a sleeper out of the group to possibly sneak in and make the team as a backup and special teams kind of player kind of thing.
Gotcha.
But other than that, you know, I kind of feel the same way. I don't know a lot of these guys.
Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate because we're so far into, you know, the season, or you know that you know these guys may not get a chance to play as much because you spent all those weeks installing your OTA stuff and giving them, teaching them stuff, and now it's like, hey, the season is upon us. So you know they may play a lot during those preseason games, especially if they have veteran teams. But you know that that may give them the opportunity to maybe join a team. But you know we'll see how everything plays out.
Yeah, CJ Gable from USC too. He's a might be a guy that Saints can use as a kick returner, too.
Okay, that's a good pick. That's a good pickup.
Yeah.
That's what you're excited about from the Saints' perspective?
Those two. Ryan Colburn, quarterback from Fresno State. I mean, he might be a practice squad kind of guy, or if they decide to keep three QBs, he might be a third-string kind of guy. But like I said, other than that, you don't know who a lot of these guys are and, you know, just don't know. You have to wait and see.
Who's your backup quarterback again?
Chase Daniel.
Chase Daniels. Okay, I got you. Okay. Good deal. I thought, okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well,
see the Falcons,
like I said,
signed Steven Nicholas.
They re-signed him. We're looking at re-signing Tyson Klebo. I think they're going to look at signing a lot of their guys. We haven't sent a tender on Brent Grimes, so we're still waiting to see what happens with him. So, you know, he's the Drew Brees killer, so we got to sign him, obviously.
we like to see y'all let him go.
It
seems like he always gets the interception to Drew Brees.
I think Drew Brees be throwing those high passes, and I think Drew didn't think that he's got those type of ups because he's so short.
Yeah.
That's how he always keeps picking them up.
Well, Drew Brees mentioned his name in the press conference last year. He's like, this guy Grimes, he said it seems like he always get an interception against us.
Wow. But you know, as much as I got to give.
But he's a restricted free agent, though.
Yeah. Like I said, we're looking at re-signing McKinnor, so we'll see how everything plays out. But yeah, it's all good. Just a quick note before we get off the call, it's probably going to cut us off pretty soon. Is that? And I give Thomas Dimitroff credit because I really, really, really think that he's positioning us in a pretty good way. Like if we don't sign a free agent defensive end, we'll go into the draft with that in mind. Like, you know, you pretty much solidified all your different needs, building depth in the offensive line and grabbing, you know, you'll probably grab an extra corner or something like that, or maybe a safety, but or a backup. But, you know, we go into next year, like, what's your biggest need? We need a defensive end. So that's going to be the best player available. So we pretty much solidified that need. So, you know, I give them credit, definitely.
Yeah. So you think they may go after Ray Edwards?
I really do hope that's the case, because I think that's what we're missing. And, you know, we keep hitting that, him beating that dead horse. But, you know, yeah, I mean, you got to have a dynamic guy. And it's tough to get those guys as rookies to come in and really make an impact. I mean, what defensive end besides maybe the Freak have you known that's come in and made an impact at defensive end as a rookie, you know? It's not a common thing. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, these front offices around the league this week, boy, they're kind of on the whirlwind. I wonder if they even get any sleep.
Yeah.
Teams still got to sign draft picks, and you got to re-sign your own players. Man, you only got a few days to do all of that.
Yeah, I'm sure they had a plan to, like, attack our players first and then go after these players and whatnot, too. So, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like from the Saints' standpoint, it seemed like they came out concentrating on undrafted free agents, and now they look like they're starting to get into taking care of their own free agents and seeing what other free agents they can sign.
Yeah, and you know what?
Kansas City locked up Lance Moore today for 5 years.
That's a good move, definitely.
Yeah,
I was going to say, next week we can talk about who got cut, because a lot of teams, like the Cowboys, cutting a lot of people, Ravens cutting a lot of people to get space, so, Roy Edwards got
cut,
Roy Williams.
You're going to see that tomorrow, see that tomorrow. We still got the Reggie Bush situation to follow, and there's some talk the Saints may even cut Randall Gay. And, So I'm sure, you know, there's going to be a lot of surprise cuts, you know, with the salary cap number being slightly lower than what it had been in previous years. You know, teams are going to, I think teams have until August 4th to get under that cap number. So, but tomorrow's the official day where teams can cut players, so you're going to see a lot of action on that regard, too. Yeah.
Wow. Good deal. All right, sir, I'm looking forward to it. Good.
I'd say Reggie Bush's Twitter account has been mighty quiet the last few days. You know he likes to tweet.
Oh, man. Probably told him, keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything about what's going down or else you're really going to be gone, right?
Oh, man.
That's straight from Sean Payton. I got a tweet for you. I'm looking for a new job.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's some talk that if he doesn't reach a new contract agreement with the Saints, that Tampa Bay might be ready to jump on him.
Wow. Okay. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you said, man, you know, as much as I think he's kind of had, I think he's made an impact, but I don't think he's been that much of an impact player like you expected.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite Marvin Williams of the National Football League, but, you know, a lot of expectations were up, and I'm sure he didn't live up to those, but, you know, for what he was supposed to do, you know, you give him credit, you know, so there you go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but from the sounds of it, it looks like the Saints definitely still want to keep him, but they just got to reduce his contract. So, yeah, they can work out a happy medium. We'll have to see.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Well, all right, sir. Like I said, I know it's going to cut off.
Right.
But as always, appreciate the talk, and on to next week, and we'll see how everything plays out.
All right, Chief, man. We'll be catching up later.
Sounds good. Have a good evening.
All right, you too. All right.
All right, bye.